Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 25, Text 13. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga. Vandhapanta Kuram Prabhu. Tatu Mahasi Devana Kupita Bhaktavatsala. The coward men and women address the Lord, Krishna, Krishna, O most fortunate one, please deliver the cows from the wrath of Indra. O Lord, you are so affectionate to your devotees, please save us. Purport, at the time of Lord Krishna's birth, Gauda Muni had predicted, Nena Sarva Durghani. Yam Anjast Paristhyata, Bhagavatam 10:8-16. By his grace you will cross easily beyond all difficulties, end quote. Legend for Bhagavatam was confident that in such a great emergency, Lord Srinarayan would empower Krishna to protect them. They accepted Krishna as everything, and Krishna reciprocated their love. Om Jnana Tamaram Dhasya, Jnanam Jnana Salataya, Satsurangotam Yena, Hismai Sri Bhadave Namaha. Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam, Dati Sanyena Bhutale, Sayam Rupa Tadamayam, Tadati Sapadam Sitam, Adadana Sanandante, Idam Yache Punapuna, Srimadupa Tadam Bhoja, Vilisham Janma Janmani. Narasi Bhakti Vishampi Atmai. Akayam Namana Vipsanandam. Kutambhiriya Paradu Kuduki. Sanatanatam Kavamasriyami. Tansha Kaupa Kuru Vyasya. Kripa Shumbhu Vaye Vyacha. Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Vyadvaita Gadadhar Shiva Pradebho Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Namo Hare Namo Rama Rama Hare Hare. So greetings from the shore of the Indian Ocean, otherwise in some small coastal town, a little bit outside of Mangalore, about 30 minutes from Udupi Krishna, the center of the Madhva Sampradaya, which we are coming from, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. And it's not exactly an ashram, it's more like a retreat place for the Sringa Maharaj's writing, but there's quite a few devotees here, and it's a quite idyllic place. I would say about 15 yards or less outside the ashram faces a very deep river. What's the name of that river? What? Anyway, it's some river, and it's at least 300 yards across. And on the other side of the river, there's a small island. I mean, real small, maybe 10, 15 yards across on a beach, and then there's the Indian Ocean. And from the room, you can just see the river and the ocean, and It's very nice. I began to do a lot of writing here. I'm here for 2-3 more days, and then I go to Udupi to stay with Dr. Kannai Goswami, who is 31 now, but 20 years ago he was my student, and now he's quite a successful Ayurvedic doctor. I'm not ill, but he invited me to come, saying that an Ayurveda is also to make the healthy healthier. And I guess when you get over 50, it's good to be preventative and clean out and rejuvenate your body. But it's really nice. Wherever I am, I don't have to put too bad about myself, but wherever I am, it's basically always the same. I stay in my room 90% of the time. I was like that almost basically even a lot before I even became a devotee. I don't have traveling karma. Not the thing I want to do in life. But I can't help but go out and every day at noon to go. And it's crystal, it's clean water. There's nothing else around. It's very, very idyllic. And very, very healthy, the ocean air. And so it's quite nice here for that. When I came from Vrindavan, before I get into the text, by the way, it's a very nice place, but the lights are completely off here, and the generator, the batteries are also off, so I have just a little, small little light. Just want to share with something with you. I was with my goddaughter, and one of the purposes I started these Sangha classes is to share with you the association I get, because Sangha is everything. And first class Sangha means more advanced than you, in the same mood. It's generally at least the same line, but even in the same line, person has a similar mood and has relationship with you. Because knowledge flows in relationship. It's one of the guyam adachi pichati in Isha and Upadeshamrita, one of the exchanges of love, this exchange of confidence, your heart, knowledge. So before I came, I was associating with Partha Sarathi Goswami, and he's the person who was kind enough. He was kind enough to let me use his house, and he's a very humble devotee, dedicated to the mission of Srila Prabhupada and preaching, but very, very dedicated to sadhana. Spends a lot of his day in sadhana. Unfortunately, he sometimes shares his realizations with me. So he gave me an autographed copy of a little book he put together called Bhakti, An Affair of the Heart. And it's mostly on chanting, and it's something also that I plan on doing. I'm putting together a book of my japa meditations, and I've been interviewing devotees. Is someone at the door? What? Go ahead. Go check it. And you probably have to find out the phone that the doctor left. Oh. Is someone there? What do they want? Okay, shut the door. The light just came on, so let me just shut this up. I don't know how to do it. Okay. So Sangha is everything. It's where you get your realizations. It makes you happy, it gives you nourishment, and if you have any prayer, a prayer is for Sangha. In fact, what I'm doing now also is I have one young man traveling with me, and I know him from studying Sanskrit in Vrindavan, and I'm going over Bhakti Sandhya every evening, and there was a verse, one of the most important verses about the means and method of realizing the absolute truth, which is bhakti, and it describes Ishadu Petasya Vipayos Mithi, that somehow you turn away from God. Ishadu Petasya. And turning away from God, how can you turn away from something that's universal consciousness and is everywhere. So turning away from God is mainly the consciousness that you don't want God because you don't want to be his servant. And when you have a desire that is unreal, it can only be fulfilled in illusion. And that's what this world is. And that's why it's filled with duality and fear, because something which is not real has no substance. And if you become attached to something that has no real substance, you'll be in anxiety, because that which is not real is temporary, or that which is temporary is unreal. That's Bhagavad Gita. Nasate vidyate bhavo, nabhavo vidyate sita. So, I'm trying to get my train of thought here. Oh, yeah. So it explained, when you turn away from God, and then it explained, therefore, what is the means of realizing, and therefore you have to worship the Supreme Lord. And the devotee, the guru, the spiritual master, the Vaishnava, as Atma, as most dear. And it's a very, very practical point. Why? Because you can't practice devotion on God. With God is perfection. You can't practice with him. It's not a place where you can make mistakes and ruin things. So to the process, if you want to go back, you have to accept Guru, you have to take shelter of Senior Vaishnava, Guru Dev Atma, and take shelter with love as Atma, as oneself, as giving oneself, as dear. That's the consciousness we need in the spiritual world. Can't practice that in the spiritual world. You have to practice it here, and you practice it with the representatives of God. And those are his devotees. Anyway, to get that association, so let me just read something before I get into the class here. Boy, I already spent so much time. So he speaks on attentive chanting. It's very nice. It's simple. It is important to chant clear and attentive rounds. Each syllable must be pronounced clearly and distinctly. There is tremendous potency in the holy name. It is also important to read Srila Prabhupada's books. If you are not able to read every day, then every alternate day for at least 15 minutes. While reading, take notes, and when chanting, meditate on what you have read. I'll read that again. While reading, take notes, and when chanting, meditate on what you have read. Srila Prabhupada's instructions are non-different from him, so by meditating on his instructions, we are meditating on him. Now, this is also a very beautiful point. The idea is to try to control the mind and focus it on the holy name of the Lord. The intelligence is superior to the mind. By fixing the mind on an instruction of Srila Prabhupada, or in a pastime of Srila Prabhupada or Lord Chaitanya, the mind automatically becomes controlled. This is a very, very nice, practical bhajan siksha. The intelligence is superior to the mind. So if you fix on some understanding, it will help you to control the mind and help you to become absorbed in the holy name. So it's a very, very nice book, and I'm trying to figure out how I can share it with others, maybe a little bit. Okay, now we're back into this Govardhan Leela, and well, just the concept of Leela, God's play, like a child. A child has no obligation or duty. The child just moves for pleasure. And obviously the absolute reality has no obligation or duty. It's just the absolute reality moves for pleasure. And what is that pleasure? That pleasure is the exchange of love which is manifest fully in Vrindavan. Prabhupada said the paintings, I remember I used to be in Vrindavan, in Prabhupada's room by his bed, there were two paintings he looked at. One is Krishna and Radharani under a Kadamba tree. And the other, they're still there, beautiful paintings. And one painting is Krishna with Balaram leaving the forest of Vrindavan, leaving the town of Nandagram with all the cows. Prabhupada said those are windows to the spiritual world. So the Bhagavatam is a window to the spiritual world. And it's our goal. Our goal is to be in the ultimate reality of God and his devotees. So we're reading this world of love where the Lila Shakti, God's own potency for this play, moves things to create emotions and surprises to increase this love and affection for the devotees. And when you get some inclination or taste of that love, when you hear about that love, you'll say, I want that love. And that's spiritual life. That's bhajan. That's our spiritual practice. And actually, you want to be with those who have that love in the spiritual world. And that's the process of developing Krishna consciousness, certainly in the higher sphere, hearing the pastimes of Krishna, and getting some attraction, and developing an aspiration for that love and for that life of total dedication to the pleasure of Krishna, which is Vrindavan. So it's a world of love. It's a world of affection. So the hearts are completely open. There's none of that selfishness in the heart that burns. I'm writing some book about bhakti, and one definition of yoga is yoga is a tranquil mind. But yoga literally means to link with God. So how is linking with God creating a tranquil mind? Because the world, the mind is the fluctuations of desires and anxieties, and it becomes tranquil when we take the consciousness away from that and focus it on reality. For one thing, reality is eternal. So if you become attached to it, you're never in the duality that you will lose it. Anyway, we're reading about that, this wonderful Leela where Krishna purifies Indra, his devotees of Ishamani. I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, which is always the temptation in this world. We want to enter into Vrindavan, we have to be free of that consciousness. That's why when you go to Vrindavan, you pray for the big piles, the Shiva lingams that guard the different corners of Vrindavan. Kameshwar Mahadev in Kanyavan, Chakleshwar Mahadev in Govardhan, Gopishwar Mahadev in Vrindavan, Kundeshwara, Radhakut. Because that Vrindavan means to be free from the false ego. So I also look at this Bhagavatam study as not only giving us the Leela, but highlighting to us the consciousness that prevents us from actually experiencing it. And here's the pitfall. You know, in the process of bhakti, you may rise in position. And the temptation will come for ahankara. I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. And therefore we always see that the... What's going on there? What? There's cooking going on. Okay. Well, let's see. Maybe they'll stop the banging. How long can you bang something? Okay, I'm trying to get into this. There's always these... See, unless you're in your own place, then the environment is controlled. Like, in 2-3 days, I'm going to be in one place, my own apartment, with an assistant, but the environment is controlled. I know what's happening at particular times. So, I was getting into this point. Yeah. So that's always the pitfall. And Krishna, therefore, for his devotees, he makes arrangements as prophets that are the material protective agents to fail. The different shaktis we have, which we put us in the illusion that we have a control of, whether it's our knowledge or debating skill or our great strength, sensual potency, etc. But anyway, besides that, if Leela is here for Krishna's pleasure, it's instructive. We also see the wonderful Leela, and what's happening is Indra becomes upset because we all become upset on the platform of false ego. If someone attacks the conception we have of control or perfection, we become angry. And Indra takes action with this terrorist act against Vrindavan. The universal clouds are, you know, they're not released because they're the clouds of universal destruction. And Indra releases this clouds, they're attacking Vrindavan. The hurricane, the storm comes, and unlike the U.S. government in New Orleans, Krishna will respond and protect his devotees. So anyway, the rain is coming, the floodgates break, the cows are crying, hey, Krishna, 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 all love to Krishna. We actually, Gail brought up a nice question, specifically in relationship to this verse, that when you approach Krishna for shelter, how is that pure love? You're approaching for something yourself. Very good question. But, and you know, we have in the Shikshastakam, what's the highest level of prema? The eighth verse of the Shikshastakam, Ashlishyava Pararakam Pranastumam Madarshanam Mama Hatam Karota. You may crush me by your embrace, you may make me brokenhearted by not being, you know, pure unconditional love. But that's the love of the gopis. There are different relationships. And this is in the mood. Of course, in any relationship, the mood of the gopis, the reason why gopi bhava is the highest because it's inclusive of all the other love. So even in that love, there's a sense of shelter and protection with Krishna. So, but especially the love of servitude, one of the moods of servitude is that you are my protector. And the reciprocation of love, of receiving protection, or shelter, or mercy, is the point of that reciprocation is taking shelter. And I gave the example of a child who takes shelter of the mother. It's an expression of their love in that type of relationship. And we also mentioned that in Vrindavan, there also is a flavor of Aishwarya. Because the need of respect is the vessel. In other words, the Aishwarya, oh, Krishna is great, is the servitude. And the servitude, the need of servitude is the vessel in which all relationships are there. There's a certain sense of shelter. But this is an expression of love. And we should be so lucky as the expression where we could actually say, in our distress, take shelter of Krishna. For example, he's a very thoughtful person. I also spent the day with him in Vrindavan, the day before I left. He was kind enough to come out to Vrindavan, and we spent the day together, and also with Niranjan Swami. And I see, whenever Borijan is with someone, he always asks a question to test their Krishna consciousness. Which is a nice friend. And he is senior. I mean, I think he joined in 69. I mean, whatever the speed, he's senior, he's very learned. He always asks the question to stimulate. And he says, when you're in trouble, you're in anxiety, what is your shelter? What do you take shelter of? really, deeply, what do you take shelter of? You say, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhana. What do you take shelter of? The body, the mind? What do you take shelter of? Think of the last crisis that you had. And that's why we have crisis. Parthasarathy, he actually was discussing that. Let me read that in another section I was reading. He's in the pure state. The advanced devotee is not disturbed when his health deteriorates. His health is horrible. When family members reject him, when he's struggling financially, of course, we have to try to attain this stage. It may take a lifetime. He says, get us to this humble stage. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will put us through so many different experiences, tests, and difficulties. All are meant to reduce our false ego and pride so we can fully depend on the Lord by chanting His holy name. Nam Ashraya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this temporary material world is full of suffering. Take shelter of the holy name as your only business. Nam Ashraya. I knew one sadhu. He visits Vrindavan every year. He stays in the MDP or wherever they put him. Old man. And he has the deities, the ancestral deities of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But I'm in Govardhan, but once in a month, I'll come in just to, you know, visit him. And he's been speaking for 3 years on Nam Ashraya. One word in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song, taking shelter of the holy name. It's actually one of our main, should be one of our main absorptions in chanting. All our problems, all our anxieties, chant, have faith. It's okay. Krishna has come. It's okay. Develop that faith because it's true. When you have the holy name, when you have Krishna, you have everything. You have shelter. You have protection. Of course, protection means Krishna will do what's best. There's another... I thought I was going to lose the... Okay, we got that. So here, we should look at this as great love. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhava, Pandhapam, you are the master. Gokulam. Hello, O Lord, kindly protect us. And that faith is Krishna will do what's best. And if you live your life taking shelter of Krishna, and that's your goal, Krishna consciousness, you'll understand how everything's best. If your goal is material, it'll be difficult to develop that faith, because what Krishna does to us is not always what's best for us materially. But if the goal is Krishna, the goal is His holy name. Next verse. Shila Varshati Vatene Hanyamanam Achetanam Niriksha Bhagavan Nene Kupatendra Pratimhari. Seeing the inhabitants of His Gokul rendered practically unconscious by the onslaught of hail and blasting wind, the Supreme Lord Hari understood that this was the work of the Indra, the angry Indra. Now, this is a purport by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Just listen carefully. Very nice. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that the severe distress Indra apparently inflicted upon the residents of Vrindavan was an arrangement made by Sri Krishna's pastime potency to enhance the loving dealings between the residents and the Lord. You know, there's very bad cell phone reception out here. Can everyone still hear me? Can someone say that they can hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
In New York, we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, well, that's amazing, because I don't have any bars on my phone, but anyway.
It's wonderful, thank you.
Thank you, okay, thank you. The Acharya gives the analogy that for a hungry person, the pain of hunger increases the happiness he feels when he finally eats excellent food. And thus, hunger can be said to enhance the pleasure of eating. Similarly, the resident of Vrindavan, although not experiencing ordinary material anxiety, felt the type of distress that the activities of Indra and thus intensified their meditation on Krishna. When the Lord finally acted, the result was wonderful. Even for Krishna, the Lila Shakti is creating his pleasure in one sense. Because he can become absorbed as an ordinary cowherd boy. This is called mudbata. He can forget his divinity, which is very important because in this river of praying, and I'm speaking from this plane, so sometimes the logic will not go to that plane, but we can understand, and Gaura Govinda Swami explained this, that praying is like an intense river, and a river requires two banks. And so the river of praying requires this separation and union. Anyway, the Lila Shakti moves the pastimes to keep the emotion at a heightened and appropriate and relatable level. So here, it gives an analogy, just like hunger increases the taste of food. So separation increases the pleasure of union. So there's some correlation here. And the inhabitants, and therefore, seeing the inhabitants rendered practically unconscious. So this is also very important. Krishna is loving his devotees. It's not just that the devotee is focusing on the desires of Krishna. Krishna is focusing on the desires of the devotee. And he's reciprocating by his protection of them. That's love. Just think of you and yourself in some difficulty, emotionally, spiritually, physically. And the person who comes to give you confidence that it's okay by giving you the emotion or the spiritual understanding or the physical protection you require. How the love comes from your heart, just like when Krishna swallowed, when the cowherd boys, they took the, and we should envision this now, we're talking a little bit Leela. But the cowherd boys go to the bank of the Jamuna and they take the, and they faint. The cowherd boys faint. And then Krishna sees them, looks around, and with his glance of mercy, he awakens them to life. And they just, they have the experience of kind of death, and now they have the experience of life. And who is giving them life? It's Krishna and his loving glance. Imagine waking up to Krishna's loving glance. And imagine the catharsis that one feels, the camaraderie, the union, the community, when you all have the same experience of Krishna's mercy. That's the international, that's the society for Krishna consciousness. So when everyone is having the same experience of Krishna's mercy, which is facilitated in that community, we all want to feel that community, even in the spiritual world. You're sharing something deeply. You're sharing the mercy of Krishna. And that should also be our pleasure among ourselves, that we're sharing the mercy of Krishna. We're sharing the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And we feel that oneness. Of course, difference is there, but we feel that oneness, which is very much liberating. So this is the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. Apart tat yudanam vasham ativatam shilamayam swayaje vahate smabir indronasaya varsity. Sri Krishna said to himself, because we have stopped his sacrifice, Indra has caused this unusually fierce, unseizable rain together with the terrible winds. I mean, so Krishna is now considering, why has he done this, Indra? And then he answers, by my mystic power, I will completely counteract this disturbance caused by Indra. Demigods like Indra are proud of their opulence, and out of foolishness, they falsely consider themselves the Lord of the universe. I will now destroy such ignorance. So simply, why is he doing it? It's simply moga. It's simply insanity. And what's the insanity caused by? It's caused by the pride, the false conception of the self. No, that I'm actually the controller. I have this right. This is my territory. This is my domain. This is my entitlement. That's antithetical to the mood of the devotee, which is Trinada Pisa Nichena, Torora Pisa Amanina. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street, more tolerant than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, one should chant the holy name constantly, especially this offering all respects to others. I had one friend, a devotee. I cannot share his name because his bhajan is revealed to me in confidence. But he so much is humble and wants to cultivate humility that he, you know, because it's difficult sometimes being in, I don't know, this guy is difficult. Sometimes difficult. Certainly it's difficult for me. But in terms of the conception of it, my friend so much didn't want to commit offenses, and was there in his deep meditation, all the devotees that have different moods from him, a different, you know, he just had, a different mood than him that is kind of more institutional and probably a little bit less personal than his, let's put it that way. He even thinks of them in a group and offers his respects every day. Even though they're what's called vipaksha. In the spiritual world, there's two groups. There's your group of serving Krishna, which is called Swapaksha. That's like Radharani, Lalita. And there's the group against, which is called Vipaksha, Chandravali, Shaidya, Shama. There's a group of, again, so even he wants to so much avoid offense. And even those people in a different mood, even sometimes give a problem, he meditates on them as a group. And he just looks at it as the puncture, they're against it. But still serving Krishna. So, I just wanted to read one other thing, because I'm actually reading this book by Partha Aditi Goswami. And I'm going to see if I can find, He writes, as practicing devotees, we should always feel grateful and obliged to those who assist us in developing our dormant love for Lord Krishna. Material consciousness teaches us to exploit others, and it can be summed up in the, quote, use and throwaway, end quote, culture as pervading modern society. In other words, we use something or somebody temporarily until our senses are satisfied and then throw them away. It is the opposite in spiritual life. We should always be appreciative to anyone who inspires us in our attempt in practicing devotional service. Ultimately, we should be feeling grateful to Lord Krishna and the Vaishnavas who help us to develop our love for Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada wrote in Bhagavatam 3.3.19 purport, quote, "We should always feel very much obliged to the personality of Godhead, who is always anxious to bring us to a happy condition of eternal life. There is no sufficient means to repay the personality of Godhead for his acts of benediction. Therefore, we can simply feel gratitude and pray for the world with folded hands," end quote. Srila Prabhupada emphasized the need to feel obliged to Krishna and to those who give Krishna. This means we have to feel grateful to the Vaishnavas. This includes Diksha Guru, Siksha Guru, and all levels of Vaishnava. This principle of gratitude is extremely important. It can also be explained that gratitude is a symptom of appreciation. Srila Prabhupada has likened the word appreciation to the first stage in spiritual life, which is called Shraddha or faith. We must try to develop our faith, appreciation, and gratitude for having received the holy name, for having heard the Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita, for accepting prasadam, for getting the darshan of the deities, and for getting the association of sadhus. Actually, I just read a few pages of that book, but it's so much in it. He's still in Gogodan. I think I'll call him tonight and express my gratitude and appreciation for that book. And I think I'm going to try to find a way to order a case of that book, so anybody who's on the Sangha or any of my disciples can get it, because it's very deep but practical bhajan siksha in line of Srila Prabhupada. While chanting Krishna's name, we want to weep. Srila Gurgovinda Swami Maharaj, my Siksha Guru and senior godbrother, said that he's opening a weeping school in Bhubaneswar, India. Actually, weeping for Guru, for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for Radha and Krishna, for Vrindavan, for Jagannath Puri is our only business. You can only weep if you have mamata, attachment to the object of your affection. Attachment comes from cent percent sincerely and enthusiastically serving the instructions of one's object of attachment. You don't have to be a big guru, scholar, or a rich merchant. You just need to chant with tears in your eyes. Very nice book. I'll stop now for any questions that anybody may have.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
How do you go?
This is Nanda Dulal. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, you know, I have a question. From the beginning, you mentioned that Krishna doesn't have anything to do because he simply plays like a child who has no obligation. And that's for exchange of love. Now, he's a pleasure potency. He doesn't need any pleasure from others, but he just wants to give the pleasure. Am I correct?
Yes. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
No, because he himself is a pleasure potency. So he doesn't need to get pleasure from somebody, but this play or his leela is to give pleasure to his devotee.
Okay.
So in this context, my question is, you know, does Krishna get pleasure out of that exchange? Or it is only for us?
It is the way God enjoys. And God enjoys in reciprocation and relationship. Why? Because that's the way he wants to enjoy. And that's the way he enjoys. That's rather than he's obligated to enjoy that way, that's the way he's manifest enjoyment. In reciprocation and love with his devotees. So he has no need because that's within him, just like the Chaitanya Charitamrita said. It's like you can't separate, you know, the scent of something from the object that gives the scent. It's inseparable. The color of the rose from the rose, it's inseparable. So Radharani is inseparable from Krishna. His pleasure is separate, inseparable from him. But in an ontological way, he expands himself to have loving exchanges. Although he's one, he separates himself eternally into Shakti, the pleasure potency, the Purna Shakti, Srimati Radharani, and Shakti Man, the possessor of potency, Krishna. So it's not a question of obligation or he needs anything outside of himself, but it is a visible demonstration of how he is enjoying. And certainly, as a person, he is focused on the pleasure of his devotees. Because you can't enjoy love. You enjoy love from those whom you love. If you want to enjoy love, you enjoy love from those whom you love. So there's reciprocation in exchange. Nandigula, when I come to your house, when I come back to the States, we'll discuss this in more depth.
Okay,
thank you.
Good. When you come,
you have another question?
No, I just want to know that the book you mentioned, are you bringing it in on this side?
What's that?
The book that you mentioned, the Parthasarathi Goswami has written.
I'll call him up after this and see if I can get some shipped to the States.
Okay, cool. Okay, Maharaj, please keep one for me.
Definitely. Okay. Anybody else like to ask a question?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Hi, Krishna Gail.
Yeah, I had a question about a statement that you quoted from Parthasarathi Goswami.
Okay.
That after we have read Srila Prabhupada's books, we should meditate on what we've read during our japa.
Yeah, that's a little controversial, isn't it?
Excuse me?
Yeah, I can explain. Yeah, I understand. Right. So you're asking, is that an attentive?
Excuse me, say again?
You're going to ask if that's an attentive.
No, I'm not able to understand what you said. My question is, I'm always trying to not focus on my own philosophical realizations and just trying to hear the sound of the mantra. And this seems
I understand your question. I'll answer it now, okay?
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The key to chanting is hearing the mantra. There's no doubt.
Yes.
To hear the mantra, you have to control the mind. And you have to control the mind, and you have to be have faith in that endeavor. Because any endeavor takes faith. So he's suggesting from his own realization of becoming absorbed that inspirational instructions on the holy name and on Krishna increases faith in absorption. So I think the real test of anything like this, because definitely the goal is just to hear the name and absorb. The test is our absorption increasing or not? So whatever increases the absorption, that's the test of chanting. I have experience also. It shouldn't be that we just start thinking of philosophical things. He's talking about inspirational instructions.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know, and those inspirational instructions that give us faith can increase our absorption. And I think he's a very, very advanced Vaishnava. and his meditation is very, very deep. I can tell you that. I can tell you that, frankly, I can say it. He's probably chanting a lot of rounds now a day and preach for at least 15 years. And, you know, so I think there's a certain, at that level of advancement, a certain creativity of drawing on inspirational conceptions and ideas and images of Krishna that flow the consciousness of absorption towards the name. But the key is the absorption of the name. And if anything is taking us away from the absorption of the name, it doesn't belong in our chanting. But most people, you know, their intelligence and mind is just all over the place. So this too, and the neophyte, it's all over the place. And it's thinking of so many things, but if there's a verse and a something you read that instills in you the faith of this activity, and I've also had experience of that, you will gravitate towards absorption. And it'll just serve as a catalyst for that absorption. But if one is also a great yogi and his mind is controlled and he can just focus, and my greatest joy is when I'm hearing, and he also spoke about that, we should attentively chant and hear every syllable. And I know my greatest joy in chanting is when I come to the point where I'm just hearing every syllable. And I'm just, because I'm just feeling that's Radha Krishna. That's so much mercy. How is this happening? So these are longer discussions, but your point is well taken. But he was just talking, controlling the mind by the intelligence and sometimes some inspirational thought. And it's a fact that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Bhajan Rahasya, which I studied a little bit the last two Kartiks with Mahanidhi Swami, his secret of Bhajan is he would be cognizant of the time of the day of Krishna's pastimes. And according to the particular time of the day, at least initially, let's say it was 3:30 in the morning, that's the Nishantalila. That's when Radharani and Krishna wakes up. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, you can really focus, just put your, if you focus on the first couplet, but the focus will carry your attention to the rest of the mantra. And you go, Hare Krishna. And he said he would also lead into that a prayer for faith, which is the first stage of Dao Shraddha. So you go, Hare Krishna, and he'd lead into that a prayer for faith. And with that, he would weave in a thought of the Shikshastakam, which is the first couple of Chaito, Dharpanam, Brahma Mahadevagni, that he, Hare Krishna, faith. And then he would think of the Shikshastakam, that this holy name extinguishes the fire of material existence. This is what's happening. And then, at an advanced stage, he would just describe that. That his concentration would become so deep that he would even begin to meditate on the lila or pastime that was happening at that time. Not enter it if you're not at the stage of Baba, but with an aspiration that this holy name is to, you know, direct me towards that lila. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his Bhajan Rahasya, he would have 20, 30 verses about faith in the holy name and faith in Krishna. That was his bhajan. He'd be chanting, Hare, at that time of the day, Hare Krishna, when he'd say, Hare Krishna. And then he would think of the verse. This is all from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It gave him faith and he'd become absorbed. And the result of his chanting, as that faith and inspiration would increase, he'd become so absorbed in the mantra that his mind would become so clear that he would think of Krishna's pastime at that time of the day. And he would think, during Mangalarti, that they're actually offering in the Kunjis of Vrindavan. Very high thing. Artik. The Sakis, the Manjuris, they're offering artik to Radha and Krishna. This is high. But he would meditate like that. Because he'd have so much faith. But we should follow Prabhupada. It's definitely hearing the mantra is the most important thing. It's not a mind should wander in so many things. But he would draw on the Shastra to increase faith. Thank you, Gail. Would anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Anybody like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Bharati.
Hare Krishna Bharati. Thank you. Anybody else like to offer their respects to the Indian Ocean?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Amiya Nimai from New York City.
Hare Krishna, I mean, right down the river here is the place where Madhvacharya found Udupi Krishna. So it's actually quite a holy place.
Yes, it sounds lovely. It sounds really, really nice. And thank also you. Very happy that you're taking care of yourself and you're going to your
Adivation. Well, it's mainly just to visit this devotee.
Yes, yes.
But I think it's good, actually, to do that for 3 years. I did it last year for 8 days.
Preventative is very important.
Very, thank you.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Yes, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hi, Maharaj.
Who's that?
Yuga.
Yeah, who's that?
Yuga.
Yuga.
Yeah. Just to say Hare Bol.
Thank you. That's Yugala. Thank you, Yugala. It's nice that you're listening. I just was, 3 weeks ago, I was at their house in Ariel. That's just outside of Tel Aviv in the West Bank. There's I joke, it's a settlement, but it's like Miami Beach dropped in the desert. It's very nice. But I did programs there every day for 4 or 5 days, morning and evening. We had 20, 25, 30 people. It was wonderful. Nice to hear you, Hugo. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.
What time is it there? What time is it there?
5 p.m.
Oh, okay. Not that good.
I'm at my work.
Oh, okay. Great.
Yeah.
You're getting paid for it. That's so nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Gopakishore.
Gopakishore. What is your phone? You don't mind giving out your phone number, do you? Because I wanted to call you and see how Kishore is doing sometime.
Okay.
Okay, I'll try to call sometime.
Okay, great.
Okay? What time is it there? It's late at night, right? No.
No, morning. Yeah. Almost 10 o'clock.
Okay, maybe I'll call after some time. Okay, it's time right here now for somehow prasadam, someone knocks on the door. Vanchakalpa, Purukasya, Kripa Sindhu, Vahedya, Patitanam, Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo, Namo Namah.